Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. In this final week of the 40-day fast, the Church commemorates always on this fifth Sunday the life of our Holy Mother Mary of Egypt. Today is also Synaxis of Gabriel, but today I really want to focus on Holy Mary of Egypt, Venerable Mother. At the heart of the account, if you happen to read it this week, and that's why we're having this Sunday commemoration, if you happen to read the account of her, read her biography this past week, you'll note a familiar theme. A chief sinner becomes a chief saint. Recalling the words of the Apostle Paul himself, who was also a great sinner, who became a great saint, we hear these words in his letter to Timothy, quote, showing forth tremendous patience, the Greek word is actually long suffering, so we could say showing forth long, tremendous long suffering. Paul speaking himself, making me an example to those who come to believe in everlasting life. End of quote. Showing forth tremendous long suffering, making me, Paul, this is the Lord working in him, making me, Paul, an example to those who would come to believe in everlasting life. Patience, long suffering. Is how God treats the sinner, how God treats you and me with long suffering. He'll go to great lengths. And such is what the church desires that you and I learn from the life, well, there's many things, but one of the key teachings about the life of Holy Mary of Egypt, how in God's long suffering for her heart, in the end, she came to know eternal life. So let's look at her life for a few minutes and point out a few aspects about her. Reading her biography, reading her account, we find out that this is a woman who begins her life far, far away from God. And yet, there's a transformation of her being far away from God, becoming a woman of tremendous faith. And through that tremendous act of faith, is then recreated in God. So the first lesson is this. To begin life in God, it's a life where only by God's grace can we change. Only by the life of grace. And that life of grace we have to respond to that life of grace by a tremendous act of faith. That's what we see in the life of Mary. So she's far away from God. Then at a certain point, God acts in her life. This is not a woman who on her own decided to change. She had no desire to change. She goes, gets on the boat, and she intends to lead more men into sin. She's in the Holy Land. She's at the Church of the Sepulchre. She's leading this life. There's nothing in her purview about changing her life. But God intervenes, and she makes the act of faith. What do we hear from our Lord himself saying? How does he teach about this? No one can come to me unless the Father draw him. No one comes to Christ unless the Father draw him. The point is, God calls, God initiates. You don't change. You change, but you don't begin that process. You don't begin that transformation. It's the Spirit of God that comes into your heart and awakens in you to repentance. The prodigal son, he's off with the swine, he's far away from the home. Something triggered inside and awakened him I am not who I'm called to be. This is what happens in every single sinner. This is what happens in your life and mine. God ignites it. God starts the ball rolling. And so we read this in her account. Quote, from her own words, from Holy Mary, in her own words, the word of salvation gently touched the eyes of my heart and revealed to me that it was unclean. And that's why I was barred from entering the church. End of quote. Note, salvation gently touched the eyes of my heart, not my mind. This is not an intellectual conversion. This is a woman who was touched in the very depths of her being. And she became aware of her uncleanness. How about that? We don't even recognize how unclean we really are unless God actually touches our hearts and shows us. The touch of God, a touch from the Lord, reveals and shatters our own false self-conceptions. Because that's what we do. We live in darkness, and we think ourselves better than we really are. God alone knows the human heart, and He alone can reveal what truly is at the depth of where we need to convert and change in our lives. So learning from the lesson of the life of Holy Mary, what's the response? We do what she did. She cried out to the Lord. She cried from the depths of her heart, as Psalm 130 says. The psalmist says, out of the depths I cried out unto you, O Lord. Confronted with her own sins, confronted with her own weaknesses, confronted with her own frailty, confronted with her own powerlessness. That's when metanoia happens. That's when real, authentic metanoia happens. That's when you begin to really repent. It's the unflinching acknowledgement that I really am an abject sinner. And I am in need of a Savior. That is repentance. That's what David came to realize when he finally realized that he committed adultery and he murdered somebody, and he realized this is really what I've done and who I am. This is St. Paul. When you read his letters, he truly believed he was the greatest sinner, an abject sinner. And he says, wretched man that I am, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this plight? Ah, Lord Jesus Christ. That's not an intellectual response. That's a cry from the heart. The asceticism of Great Lent, my brothers and sisters, is not a neatly arranged obstacle course so that at the end we can feel better about ourselves, some kind of therapy, so we can feel smug at the end and self-satisfied. I did the fast this year and I did it well. I did my prayers this time and I did them well. I had a great Lent. That's pride. To have a true, authentic Lenten experience, if you're truly entering into the spirit of Lent, the ascetical practices are meant to do one thing: bring you to your knees before Almighty God, like Holy Mother Mary of Egypt. We fall on our faces before God, like we do at the Liturgy of the Priest Sanctified, like we do throughout the week as we pray that prayer of St. Ephrem. We fall and we face the ground because we know who we truly are before Almighty God. We know who we are before, as we stand before the purity of Mary. We know we truly are when we stand before our Holy Mary of Egypt, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory of Nazianzus, St. Gregory of Palamas, St. John Climacus, St. Paul, St. Peter, go down the river. When we stand before these holy people, we fall with our faces to the ground. Because we can do that, we can relate to them authentically. We're rooted then in the truth of things. Become fully aware of our own poverty. And only then can we begin the journey of true conversion, true repentance, true transformation. That's the beginning. And that's when you can begin to really see God as God. And what does the Lord do? In long suffering, he gently rebukes us. And what do? We turn in faith and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In our humility, as I preached a while ago, it was on the publican and the Pharisee. What grabs God's heart more than anything else? The humble heart, the crushed heart. So yes, we feel that gentle rebuke from the Lord and we turn to him and say, but this is who I am. Have mercy on me. I'm powerless. Faith is not a mere intellectual assent to dogmas and doctrines and the creed and being able to say, yes, I believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That's intellectual. Faith is ultimately an unwavering trust and confidence in God. An unwavering, absolute confidence in God. As we heard in the gospel yesterday for the great feast of the Annunciation, when finally Archangel Gabriel says to the Blessed Mother, for nothing will be impossible with God. Unwavering faith is the natural expression of someone who's repented. It's the lifeblood. Repentance is the lifeblood for true faith. It's also the foundation for everything else. That's the first lesson we learn if you read her biography. That's the first lesson we learn from Mary of Egypt. And the church gives us her life at the very end of Lent to kind of put it all in perspective and what should be happening and hopefully will continue to happen in this final week of the Great Fast. A penitential awakening. I am who I am. And the response then is prayer. Prayer. That's why we pray Great Compline. That's why we pray Prayer of St. Ephrem. That's why we're here on Sunday mornings. That's why we're doing the liturgy to pre-sanctify gifts. That's why we did the canon of St. Andrew on Thursday night. Because if we're truly, truly being touched in our heart by your repentance, we are being led and led more into the prayer of the church. Because I have nothing else but to pray. And once Holy Mary did that, what was she able to do? Finally enter the church. She was finally into the church from which she was barred to enter. With childlike faith, Holy Mary of Egypt recounted these words to the Theotokos she prayed. Quote, lead me by the hand along the path of metanoia. Here she is in the courtyard. She tried to get into the church several times, was barred each time. She's sitting on the courtyard. She finally realizes why she can't really enter. She looks up, she sees the face of the Theotokos, and she says, Mother, lead me. Lead me. Show me the way. This is a woman who's not relying on herself and her strength and her own thinking and reading. This is a woman knocked down on her rear end and can't do anything else. She's face down. She realizes I am an utter, utter abject failure. And that's why she was able to cry out as a child, help me, Mother. Lead me. And only then was she able to enter the church. And yet that was only the beginning. Because then she crosses the Jordan and enters the desert, the real crucible. This was when it really began. Stripped literally of everything, but her naked self, not only figuratively, physically, she had nothing, not even clothes anymore. And what was the point? In all of that experience in the desert, she learned how to trust and seek nothing but God. And she was plagued, and she was assaulted, and she was accosted by the demons for all of her past with all kinds of temptations to go back to the life of debauchery. It was not a peaceful ride in the desert. And all she could do during all this time of being assaulted by the demons and assaulted by her past memories and imagination that was impure, all she could do was constantly throw herself down before the Theotokos. And she'd pray for tremendous long suffering. She said these words, quote, "I always turn the eyes of my mind to my protectress, asking her to extend help to one who is sinking fast in the waves of the desert. I always had her as my helper and her as the acceptance of my repentance." End of quote. Holy Mary, she was bereft of earthly consolation. She was deprived even of any spiritual support. She had no monastic community. She had no parish community. She had no parish family. She had no guidance from an elder. She had no church. She had no divine services. She had no scriptures. She had no writings of the fathers. She had no regular participation in the Eucharist or any of the other mysteries. And yet here's a woman the church raised up before us as the model of faith and Lent. My brothers and sisters, as we come into the final week of the fast, this ascetical struggle is ultimately only one objective: that we become children of God by faith. Faith founded upon the rock of Christ. Christ's